Hello, I'm Fiona Talkington here with our daily roundup of the Rock at the Edge Festival news in Today at the Edge. And yes, this year's festival got underway yesterday. I'm joined by the festival director, Lindsay Kemp. We started with a walk, Lindsay.
We did, a virtual walk, but one that was very appropriate, I think, to this year's festival. The restrictions put on us by COVID have meant that we're not able to give concerts to audiences in LSO St Luke's. Which is a shame, of course, but it opens up the idea of the festival as one that not only has no rules, but has no walls. So it's great to start with what was effectively a virtual walk around Clerkenwell, guided for us by London Blue Badge tourist guide David Wynne Phillips, who filled us in on some of the background of the places we were talking about and imagining ourselves to be, and the singer Vivian Ellis, who added colour by singing some of the broadside ballads, the song sheets that were sold for a penny in the streets of Clerkenwell, which told stories of things going on in the area, like cows entering the church and causing havoc, or people being executed on a grimmer note, or just reflected the atmosphere of London at the time. And we did that in two ways. We had a live Zoom event yesterday afternoon where David told us some of the stories and Vivian sang some of the songs and invited attenders to sing along. She taught them some of the songs. We put up the lyrics on the screen and people were able to sing these songs in their own houses. So we really reached beyond our walls and into other people's walls. And to go with that, we also had a podcast presented by you, of course, Fiona, with Vivian and David, in which they investigated the background to this extraordinary repertoire of songs and of London stories in more detail.
It was certainly full of lots of stories. I love being taken back in time by David and Vivian. Well, it's the fourth Baroque at the Edge festival, and we'd usually be taking over the atmospheric venue of LSO St Luke's in London for live performances. But Lindsay, you've manoeuvred the festival and the programme into a fantastic online programme. And yeah, it's normally no rules, as you say now, no walls. We do have rules, but in other ways, we have no rules. So what's it been like for you manoeuvring and choreographing your way through this?
Well, it's been quite a learning experience, of course, because normally the festival is some concerts which people come to, and we put on some other events in between, maybe a singing workshop or a talk or something like that. But basically, it's the concerts and people come to the concerts and enjoy them. This year, like everyone, we've had to find other ways of getting music to the public by broadcasting online, of course. But we didn't want to see that as a restriction or an inhibition in any way. We thought the best way to tackle this would be to look for ways in which we can enhance the experience by being online. Hence, for instance, these podcasts and also these live Zoom events, of which the ballad walk yesterday was the first of four that we have. We got one every day, today, tomorrow and on Sunday.
So later on today, we're going to be meeting Robin Bigwood of the Art of Moog in an event with such a captivating title, Truly Madly Moogly. Lindsay, what's this all about?
Well, quite simply, Robin is going to give a demonstration of some of the things you can do with a synthesizer, how you can use it, especially in interpreting the work of Bach. This is all linked to the concert that Art of Moog are giving on Saturday evening, in which they will be performing an hour of Bach's music in their weird and wonderful arrangements. Some of them beautiful, some of them extraordinary, some of them maybe a little bit grotesque, but full of resource, full of inventive ways of using the sounds created by Moog synthesizers. There are four players playing live. A lot of people, of course, will know the famous Switched on Bach recordings from the 1960s by Wendy Carlos, a real synthesizer genius who, as I understand it, created electronic performances of pieces like Bach's Brandenburg Concertos or things like that. Art of Moog used keyboards. There's a wind player who plays some kind of wind synthesizer. I confess I don't know quite how that works. But the other three are all playing keyboards. They're all harpsichordists, so they've all got the fingers to be able to play Bach's music superbly in the first place. But they create this wonderful sound world that sort of takes its starting point from Wendy Carlos's work, but takes it further, takes it into new realms, and also that all-important live element. So the Zoom talk this afternoon that Robin Bigwood is giving, he's the director of the group, is really a sort of introduction to the synthesizer and what you can do with it in this particular context. So he'll be demonstrating it live, and I think there'll be an opportunity for questions and answers at the end as well.
Sound of the Art of Moog. Now, Lindsay, I know you love playing around with words, so choosing titles for some of the Baroque at the Edge events is right up your street. Did you come up with these titles as well?
Some of them. Truly Madly Moogly, that you mentioned, which is the title for the Zoom talk this afternoon, actually came from Robin Bigwood. It's a reference, of course, to the film Truly Madly Deeply, which many remember fondly, with Alan Rickman and Juliet Stevenson. And the piece we heard being played there was one of Bach's sonatas for viola da gamba and continuo, and it features very heavily in that film. For the concert that they are giving on Saturday evening, I confess I came up with the title, so if you don't like it, you can blame me. I came up with the title of Bach's Friends Electric simply as a reference to a rather different era in the history of the synthesizer, namely early 80s synth pop. So, Bach's Friends Electric is just a naughty reference, I do apologize, to the Gary Numan song Our Friends Electric.
We love it, Lindsay. Don't stop. Thank you. And you can hear Truly Madly Moogly this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Now, according to Sean Sheba, lutes were associated with the nobility, while the guitar is wild and untamed and an instrument of protest. Well, you can settle down this evening to hear this brilliant wild child of the guitar taking on the lute as well in a programme that mixes dance tunes of the 17th century with his take on the French elegance of Ravel and Poulenc. The captivating Sean Sheba, who's at Baroque at the Edge this evening. What can we expect, Lindsay?
Well, I can tell you, in all honesty, that it's a stunning recital. It's mostly quiet music. It's mostly very still music. It's got things in it like quite static sort of Renaissance dance tunes over a kind of drone thing, and some very, very sweet Scottish Renaissance tunes, all of those played on the lute, which Sean has taken up in the past year, I think, and is already playing very well. And also 20th century reflections of some of those earlier dance styles like pavans and sarabands. So, for instance, there's a beautiful saraband by Francis Poulenc. There's the gorgeous pavan pour une infante défunte by Ravel, which I should imagine is everybody's idea of a beautiful piece. But Sean plays them all so exquisitely and so intimately When we were recording this in LSO St. Luke's, he was sitting in the middle of the room with nobody anywhere near him. And the only other people in the room were the recording crew and me and the lighting director and a few other people. And we were all spellbound by it. He played for an hour and a really quite quiet music. And everybody was just listening so intently. It's really, he is a very special and exquisite musician. And I think if you watch this concert tonight, you will agree. He also said some lovely things about why he brought this music together. It may not seem obvious why we have Renaissance dances from Scotland and France together with these sort of modern reflections of them. And in the concert, he explained why he brought them together. And what he said was that, in his opinion, all his music, this is what he said, lives within the language of sparseness and evaporation, which I think is a beautiful way to describe that. It's quite a good way to describe the sound of a lute or guitar anyway, because if you think of it, every note you play immediately decays and evaporates. The sound of the guitar really plays with that. And he also talked about the simplicity of the music. Some of the French Renaissance pieces are so simple, they seem barely even to have been composed in a way. They seem to have kind of risen out of the earth or something. But Sean quoted St. Matthew, as it happens, and he said, "Unless you become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So that's, again, a beautiful reflection on what we can get, what we can gather from simple music. Music doesn't always have to be complex. And he also described the mood of them as modal, observant, and tragic. I like that word, observant. It suggests a kind of concentration of attention on the part of the composer, which I think Sean's playing very successfully transmitted to us. So it really is a very special concert. So I would urge you, if you hadn't thought of watching that one this evening, give it a go.
I love that idea of music rising out of the earth as well. Beautiful. That's this evening at 7:30. Full details on the Baroque at the Edge website, where you can book tickets either for individual events or you can buy a festival pass. And the concerts will be available online until the end of March. And thanks very much for joining me and our director, Lindsay Kemp, this morning. Have a great day. And we'll be back with the latest festival news in Today at the Edge tomorrow morning.